Call Back the Past.
There were no machines, no typewriters or telephones, and no women. No sound save the scratching of a pen or the chink of gold being weighed in scales. Gold. Yes, all was gold then. And even on the counter, there were large inkwells made of pewter with quill pens stuck in them for the use of customers.
A teller recalls what banks were like in the year 1910. It was the year in which South Africa became a dominion and a new king came to the British throne. Lady Baden-Powell started the Girl Guides movement and Madame Curie isolated radium from its chloride. In fashion, it was the parasol, in the city and by the seaside.
Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside. I do like to be beside the sea. I do like to stroll along the prom, with the brass band plays little day om. So just let me be beside the seaside. I'll be beside them with glee. And there's lots of girls beside. I should like to be beside the seaside, beside the sea. One of the duck eyes, one of the duck hats. Now will he invite the burglar, he's been out to work one night, and he'll be back with cash and jewels and plate. And Constable Brown said no surprise when William hove in sight, said he, the hour's here, he's been up all too late. So he grabbed him by the collar and locked him safe and sound in jail. Next morning, looking pale, Bill told a tearful tale. The judge said, for a couple of cuts, I'm sending you away. Said Bill, how kind, well, if you don't mind, where I spend me holiday. Oh, I do like to be beside the sea. I do like to be beside the sea. I do like to stroll along the prom, when the brass band plays diddly om. So just let me be beside the seaside. I'll be beside myself in glee. And if lots of girls desire, I should like to be beside the seaside. I'll then all together. Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside. I do like to be beside the sea. I do like to stroll along the prom, with the brass band plays in the om. So just let me be beside the sea. I'll be beside the river to me.
Mark Sheridan's recording of that song, made in 1910. In America, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was launched with a gift of $10 million, while the 1910 Mann Act, or the White Slave Act, was passed. This prohibited the interstate transportation of women for immoral purposes. Woodrow Wilson resigned his post as president of Princeton University to enter politics. He would eventually win the presidency of the United States by beating the current president, W.H. Taft, in the next election. In the meanwhile, the witty Democrat senator, Champ Clark, gave his tongue-in-cheek plug for his party's contribution towards increasing the population of the United States.
Mr. Speaker, I fully agree with my well-beloved friend, Mr. Knapp, that the growth of this country since 1860, in wealth and in every other respect, has been phenomenal. I suppose his figures are correct. But the gentleman leaves out of his calculations the most important element of growth in the United States since 1860, and that is the growth in population. And surely no Republican will dare to claim that the Republicans begat all that increase in population. Democrats did their full share in that regard.
Top land speed of 1910 was 131 miles per hour, set by Barney Oldfield in a Benz at Daytona Beach. Unbeaten heavyweight boxing champion James J. Jeffries came out of retirement to be knocked out by his black challenger, Jack Johnson. The fight had an aftermath of racial ill-feeling and riots. And it was in 1910 that Sophie Tucker first sang this song.
Some of these days, oh, you've missed me, honey.
vaudeville, or music hall, was extremely popular in South Africa as well in 1910, as Captain Jack Stodell recalls.
10 variety acts and an old-fashioned Pathé newsreel for 3 and 6 pence, orchestra stalls, half a crown in the circle, and the coloured gallery, 6 pence and a bob. Bar stewards who came to your seats to ask what you're going to have, and then brought it back to you to drink in comfort while you watched the turns, and what turns they were. No microphones and loud speakers to blast you out of your chair, but every artist knew how to get a song across to the last row in the house.
When I was a nipper, only 6 months old, my mother and my father too, they didn't know what to wean me on, they were in a dreadful stew. They thought of Christ, they thought of Shaker, a little bit of old Cotrow. I said, Bob Brand to the old cook shop, and I tell you what to make me grow. Boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots, that's the stuff for your Derby Kell. Makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. Blow out your kite from morn till night on boiled beef and carrots. When I got married to Matilda Brown, a funny little girl next door, we went to Brighton for the week, we both got it home once more. My bells all met me in the pub, said a fella to me, what's your friend? What did you have for your honeymoon? So just for a lark I said, boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots, that's the stuff for your Derby Kell, makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarian, so they give to parents. The wife of mine looks fat and fine on boiled beef and carrots.
Harry Champion at the Music Hall of 1910. Of course, the big event of 1910 for South Africa was the formation of Union. Generals Botha and Herzog formed the South African Party, and Leander Starr-Jameson formed the Unionist Party, which is based on an imperialistic platform. There was much conjecture as to who would be the Union's first Prime Minister. Many thought it would be the Cape Colony's John X. Merriman. Thomas Boydell recalled,
"He was one of the most outstanding parliamentary personalities of his day. His record as South Africa's leading parliamentarian gave him a strong claim to be considered in 1910 as the country's first choice for the Union's first Prime Minister. He had hopes of this position because he wrote to the aged general, Sir Somerset French, as follows. I can see that the initiation of Union will be a work of the greatest difficulty if it is to be done on sound parliamentary and financial lines. I think that I can do the job, but I have grave doubts of other people. Therefore, if I am asked to form a cabinet, I will do so. But if not, I shall with resignation stand on one side, as nothing will induce me to undertake the drudgery and humiliation of a subordinate post. In spite of his qualifications and ambitions, he was overlooked. It was General Louis Botha, whom the Governor-General, Lord Gladstone, called upon to form the first Union government. Botha immediately invited Merriman to be one of his cabinet ministers. But in a curt but courteous letter, Merriman refused to serve. When the first parliament met, John X, as he was called, seated himself on a back bench as far away from the government as he could and called himself the government's humble musket bearer and candid critic.
Charlie Chaplin made his last appearance on the London stage before leaving for America in 1910. Plays of the year included Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, Get Rich Quick Wallingford, and John Gosworthy's Justice. Fanny Bryce made her debut in the Ziegfeld Follies, while the two big musicals of the year were Madame Sherry and Naughty Marietta.
Oh,
Benjamin Ogilvy. In Britain, the Liberals lost ground in the 1910 elections. Political rivalry was set aside, though, to mourn the passing of King Edward VII, who would be succeeded by George V. Coronation year is recalled by Elsie and Doris Waters.
Oh, sir, didn't we make a stir? Didn't we give the boys a treat in coronation year?
Different then was our evening dress. Our backs were covered up more or less. But the other way round was a big success in coronation year. We rode our cycles round the park and cantered in the row. At Covent Garden Opera, we talked all through the show. We waited till the curtain rose and floated in with pride. 'Cause Tommy Beecham wasn't there to make us wait outside. Oh, sir, didn't we make a stir? Didn't we give the boys a
show? Halley's Comet appeared in 1910, a year in which Leda Forrest made the first successful radio broadcast. Radio was to play an important part, too, in the apprehension of the notorious English murderer, Dr. Crippen, who was trying to escape to America on a ship. The ship's commander, Captain Kendall, recalled.
After we left Antwerp, my suspicions were aroused over a man in a bike traveling under the name of Robinson. Whilst we were on deck, I searched the cabin and found that the boy's hat was padded to make it fit, and he was using a piece of a woman's bodice for a face flower. I made friends with Mr. Robinson. Once the wind blew up his coat tails, and in his hip pocket I saw a revolver. After that I carried mine, and we had many pleasant tea parties together. But I'd given my wireless operator a message for Liverpool.
Have strong suspicions, Crippen and friend among passengers, friend dressed as boy. Voice, manner, and build undoubtedly a girl.
I remember Mr. Robinson listening to the crackle of our wireless and remarking what a wonderful invention it was. The Laurentic left Liverpool the day after my message was sent. I knew she would overtake us.
To Captain Montrose, we'll board you at Father Point, Quebec. Strictly confidential. Inspector Dew, Scotland Yard, on board Laurentic.
Montrose to Laurentic. Advise you to come off with pilot, disguised as pilot.
When the pilot came aboard, I invited Robinson to my cabin. The detectives grasped him by the hand and said, "Good morning, Dr. Crippen. I'm Inspector Dew of Scotland Yard."
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.